Good morning, church. It's nice to see some faces in front of us this time. This is the first time that Liz and I have led in front of a congregation for quite a while, so it's really good to see you and you two on the live stream. We're going to worship the Lord right now and lift his name high, so join us.
Raise a hallelujah. Lord God, we raise a hallelujah to you now. We thank you that we can gather this morning. We can gather physically, we can gather virtually. We are all interconnected through you, Lord. And in this time, we ask that you really speak to each of us. We will all be coming to this time with different burdens, different situations that are weighing on our minds at the moment. Lord, we ask that you meet with each of us, that you lighten those burdens, that we can praise you and be reminded of your love and your grace and your peace for each one of us. So, Lord, in this service, we ask that you speak to us, and that we are able to worship you and feel closer to you and to one another as we go into the weeks ahead. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Physically here, we have a wonderful smattering of people in the congregation, which is great to have back here. And for all of you who are online as well, you are really welcome here at the Shore Community Church. I'm Nick. I'm one of the ministers here, and I'm introducing us, and then we're going to have one of our wonderful leaders, Alistair, sharing with us in a short while after some more worship. But firstly, a few things that we're wanting to share with you. Firstly, thank you so much for bearing with us with all the little technical difficulties we have through the streaming. I know sometimes it's a bit too quiet, perhaps sometimes too loud, sometimes jumps a little bit. It is really hard work to run the stream, and we have a wonderful team of volunteers who are making this happen. So a massive thank you to them, and a massive thank you to you guys for bearing with us. If there are some struggles with the live stream, do remember that afterwards we do upload the full stream onto YouTube, and that is what's recorded directly from here, so there's no kind of jitters or anything like that. So if you do want to rewatch the service, do check it out on YouTube later in the week. So we are a good few days into Advent now. I don't know how many of you guys have Advent calendars. How many people here have an Advent calendar this year? A few of us? Yeah. I think Hannah and I have got about five or six between us. And one of the Advent calendars we were given this year was a mindfulness Advent calendar, which is a bit different, where it's basically this jar, and there are 24 pieces of paper in the jar, and on each piece of paper there is something to be mindful about for that day, to be present about, to reflect on. In some ways, it feels like a bit of a cop-out to me. I'd rather just have chocolates. But there's some really wonderful thoughts and reflections on there, and just to share one of those with you. The reflection just the other day was about wrapping presents. I don't know how many of you have wrapped your presents yet, if you've got it all sorted, if you've even bought all of your presents yet. But the mindfulness kind of sentence for that day was when you are wrapping your presents, to just be really mindful and present in each person that you are wrapping that present for, because you are wrapping a present for an individual person who is made in the image of God, and to be really mindful of that person, to be praying into that person as you are wrapping their present. And perhaps that can make it seem a little less like a chore and more of a joyful prayer of thankfulness for each person we meet. So that's just a little thing for us to be reflecting on this morning. Just a few more things we're wanting to share with you is this Thursday morning we have our Zoom coffee morning. So that will be at 10:30 a.m. Hopefully you've had the details for that. If not, do let us know and we'll be happy to send those out to you. Also, we are going to be having a Christmas trail, so that should hopefully be on your screen. So this is mostly for kids, but adults, you're welcome to join in. So this has been put together by the brilliant Kids Church leaders through a Scripture Union project. And basically, there's a poster at the front of the church, which is up on the screen at the moment. And you would need to scan the QR code, which is that code in the middle of the poster. If you were to scan that with your phone, you then need to find three clues. And each of those clues then has another of these QR codes. And they reveal more of the story of the Christmas nativity story. And the other codes can be found at St. Wilfrid's Church, just down the road, and the Salvation Army as well. So the three churches, including ours, if you were to take your family, your kids, round to those three different churches, you'd be able to journey round and to discover the Christmas story as you go. So it'd be wonderful if lots of people joined in with that, and maybe just sent in a picture of you doing the trail as well would be great. And I'm sure the kids' church leaders would enjoy seeing those and sharing with those on the Sunday streams that the kid church leaders do for the kids. Also, we are a reminder that we are going to be doing a light procession on Sunday the 20th. So normally we'll be having a carol service indoors each year. This year we have to do things different, but actually we're really excited about the light procession event that we're going to be doing. Sunday the 20th, it's going to run between 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. And we are going to be outside in the church car park. And what we are asking all of us to do is to book in a slot. So there's going to be 20-minute slots. We're going to be sending out the details for those slots shortly for you to be able to book in for those. So you book in and then you put a light into a jar, so just like a jam jar, and maybe a tea light, or a, you know, kind of a battery powered light or fairy lights. Get creative, bring a few jars, and then we are going to have this massive heart, a heart for Bognor, that will be set up in the church car park. We've currently got this massive load of scaffolding set up in the church that we're going to be taking outside. We're going to be setting up this heart, and then we're going to be putting the lights on the heart, so that anyone who is walking past in that time will see this wonderful lit heart for all of Bognor. And we're going to, well, hopefully other people in the neighbourhood will join in with that. We'll be passing around some postcards and leaflets for that, and it will just be a great opportunity for us to meet together socially distanced in these time slots, and to be able to hopefully have mulled wine and mince pies and hot chocolate. And I'm sure it will be a really special and unique experience. So do be sure to join in with that. Also, we're going to be having a Christmas Eve service on the 24th, funnily enough. And that is going to be at 7 p.m. This is all going to be over Zoom. If any of you joined in when we had the Tenebrae service, Maundy Thursday service during Easter, it will be kind of an experience like that, where lots of different people are going to be sharing different readings, different reflections, hopefully different carols. And it will be a really upbeat family service. So we really hope that as many people can join in with that as possible. So once again, we will be sending out more details for that closer to the time and the link. But it would be wonderful if lots of people joined in with that and we could see everyone's lovely faces on the Zoom for that service. We're now moving into the time of the service where we would be taking up our offering. What we're asking you to do is to be able to give online if you're able to. So once again, the details should be on the screen for that. And if you are able to give, that would really help in furthering the work of the church. So maybe to give regularly or a one-off donation if you're able to. But I'm going to be...
It is mine and Liz's favourite Christmas song. I don't know if you spotted, we popped one in earlier as well. As we're coming closer to Christmas, it's great to sing these Christmas songs. So, join us in singing this.
Shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ is the
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Good morning to those who are here, and good morning to those who are at home. It's great to be here this morning sharing with you all. It's good to be on television. But no one tells you when you do this live streaming how long you have to spend in makeup. tell me if my foundation on those close shots, Carla, be careful of the close shots because my foundation's starting to run already. Now, I've got something, I hope that I have something new for you this morning. I hope that I've got something that will provoke you. I hope that I've got something that will maybe make a change if a change is needed. It's my intention this morning for my message to be uplifting, encouraging, and maybe challenging. It's certainly been challenging to write. The headline scripture, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I'm talking about hope this morning, looking at our understanding of the word and exploring its many different meanings and uses. It's pretty good to be talking about hope in the week that a vaccine's been signed off and is being rolled out next week. It feels like, come on. So this week, man, this week, I lost all hope this week. I'd had a hard week at work. I was on my way home. I was really tired, very hungry. We do feel a bit more hopeless when we're hungry, don't we? I walked up the drive and I remembered in the morning, just as I was going out in the kitchen, saw a chicken Kiev packet on the side. They do a vegan version. Just the job, I thought. Chicken Kiev. Oh, yes. Put the key in the front door, opened the front door, hoping there was that deep hope that you were going to smell. You know that chicken Kiev smell? You know that, Open the door. Fish. I smelt fish. And it wasn't fish and chips. My hopes had been smashed. My evening, temporarily ruined. Now, I'm not that precious. And actually, when I have fish, I always like it. And I know that I'm very blessed to come home to have something cooked. This, however, is a common way, or the common way, that we use hope and the word hope. We hope about exam results, getting the job, winning the point, our team winning the game. Finding a parking space. Oh, finding a parking space. I know that one of Abby's hopes every morning, I hope he makes me a cup of tea before he goes to work. Now, these are not really hopes. They might be labelled as such, but they are really being optimistic. It's not the same hope that Paul or Barnabas, we're not quite sure, wrote about when they wrote, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Optimism is not an anchor for our soul. It's not the anchor I would want for my soul, and I certainly wouldn't recommend it for yours. So what other types of hope are there for us? Well, another type of hope for me is much more relevant. Certainly for this morning and our here's and now's, and I'm going to call it holy hope. I actually think that you could argue that this other type of hope, this holy hope, this hope of mysterious origin, is spiritual. It is a glimpse of God that we don't always recognise. and it's inside us all and is incredibly powerful. This type of hope can dramatically change how we view our circumstances, however bleak. I listened to an extremely sad tale about the end of the war and decommissioning, and the decommission of concentration camps. The camps were full of prisoners, some too weak to lift their arms. You've probably seen, I mean, there may be some images behind us. You've seen these horrendous images, and this story comes from, Baden. Oh gosh. Anyway, I haven't got it written down, which is awful. But it was where Anne Frank spent her last months. And you'll probably agree that these prisoners all look pretty hopeless. Their hope had been replaced by despair some time ago. And the account I listened to was from an army commander, and who was first on the scene after the war, and after his initial reports, which were understandably horrific, he didn't know what to do with the prisoners. They were so damaged. They were predominantly women just sitting there. They could leave, they could go wherever they wanted, and they were just sitting. They were free, but they were just sitting. They just didn't move. They were desperate for food. And after a couple of days, the Red Cross truck came with provisions. The commander was delighted when he saw it come through the camp gates. At last, some better food, medical supplies. Thank goodness. To his dismay, however, whilst there was some food, the main items were... Now, I understand there was soap and stockings, but there was certainly lipstick. He thought, there has to be some mistake. But he couldn't communicate with anyone, so eventually he just distributed the items amongst the camp. He talked about the fury he felt, the hopelessness he felt, how sad he was that he was powerless. All he could do was distribute these ridiculous items. Within hours of the items being distributed, he heard noises that he had not heard since his arrival at camp. A sort of buzzing. Something was different. Something changed. He went into the main area and saw these women, these painfully malnourished women, whose bodies had been wrecked, laughing. As they put on makeup and lipstick on their newly clean bodies. These ghosts had been transformed. Their souls had been watered with dignity and hope. Holy hope had arrived. A contemporary account at the time says, women lay in bed with no sheets and no nightie, but with scarlet red lips. You saw them wandering around with nothing but a blanket over their shoulders, but with scarlet red lips. I saw a woman dead on the post-mortem table, and clutched in her hand was a piece of lipstick. At last, someone had done something to make them individuals again. They were someone, no longer a number tattooed on their arm. At last, they could take an interest in their appearance. That lipstick started to give them back their humanity. This is hope. That grows when it feels like a desert. Where does that hope come from? How can it be anything other than something spiritual? Now, Abby's my wife, if you're not familiar with us, have had a couple of doors close on us recently, and there's been occasions when we felt crushed, defeated, exhausted, and our souls, if you like, have been wrung out. And what happens? Over time, what was painful just stings. Over a bit more time, then it's just a bit tender to touch. But always, always a new hope is born. The green shoots emerge, always stronger. The Bible plug, is a book of hope. Hope is everywhere. Try at some point, and I'm not going to do it for this exercise, but try at some point just to flick through, put your finger in, open the Bible, and read a couple of pages. I promise you, unlike a magician who'll say, pick a card, any card, unlike that, you will find hope on every single page. This book drips hope. Hope can drive us to do extraordinary things. Now, we've got 25 minutes, and I know I'm going to overrun, so I'm going to pick Moses. Now, I think of the hope that runs through the life of Moses. Now, we know the story of Moses, but let's start at the beginning, because I think particularly at the beginning of the hope, maybe born from desperation, that his mother had. When she put him in a basket, her son, she put her son in a basket and cast him out to a river. Can you imagine what she must have been thinking? Unimaginable, really. Except it's not. Mothers and fathers to this day are digging into that same hope. They're putting their children on boats. I don't think that this is stupidity. It is hope, the same hope. 3,500 years makes no difference. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run from the border when you see the whole city running as well. You have to understand, no one puts their children on a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one burns their palms under trains, beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck, feeding on newspapers, unless the miles travelled means something more than the journey. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. This is an excerpt from an extremely powerful poem written by a Somali British woman, and it provokes me to meet that hope and to welcome it. People get into boats and feel forced to trust their children into boats, must do so with so much hope. Some will never know what became of their children. They let go to the sea. I expect that they will have that hope burning inside, constantly willing their child to make it safe to shore, and imagining the new life and the possibilities. What a terrible, terrible situation to be in. But even in that situation of total desperation, there's hope. We, all of us, can play an active part in others' hope. Continuing with this story, as fellow travellers who happen to be in better circumstances, we can choose to play an active part in the hope that someone has placed in us or on us. We can hold out our hands and say, yes, I will support your hope, seen or unseen. I will justify your hope. Someone has to, otherwise the whole scenario is hopeless. Who is there on the beach saying, I will offer safe haven? We can choose to meet others' hopes in this dramatic way. I would encourage you to do so if it felt right. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. From the Gospel of Matthew. Isaiah says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. I think that your light, our light, or the light that he refers to, is partly that hope that we have inside us. And that you have for others. And this verse states correctly that usually when we do nourish our own hearts, we nourish our own hearts when we correct injustice. Watch your tongue. This is a bit of a leap. I couldn't quite stitch this in, but anyway, here we go. Watch your tongue. This sounds like something your mum might say. I can't remember my mum telling me, watch my tongue, but with the size of my nose, it's impossible anyway. We know what that phrase means, and I mention this as we can affirm people, and we can affirm people's hopes, particularly the holy ones, with encouragement and acceptance. But we can also find it very hard not to stick our oar in with our own views. I think of the parable of the prodigal son, and wonder how many of his father's friends would have been saying to him, well, don't get your hopes up on that one. He will only let you down. He's let you down time and time again. Waster. I think you need to focus on the other son. The one who fits in all the traditional boxes, whose behaviour we can perhaps more understand. But the father's soul burned with hope for his son, his wayward son, who had been to hell and was probably pretty much still there. And it burned for him to make it home. He lived in hope. I love that phrase, live in hope. But maybe, let's say, live in holy hope, as when we say live in hope, we are less likely to follow up with the more modern addition, live in hope, but prepare for the worst. Please don't prepare for the worst. I find it impossible to believe that whilst waiting eagerly for his son's return, the father is calling up the funeral directors on the off chance. Of course he wasn't. He was adding to the celebration meal in full expectation that his son would return. We can chip away at others' hopes without even knowing it, and we must distinguish our hopes from those from those who are on a journey with us. They are different. I heard a story about an incredible lady who was a hugely successful, I think she was an accountant, and it was extraordinary. She was 90, well, she is 90 now. She's in her 80s when I think she'd been interviewed. And she was generally being interviewed about how groundbreaking she was, because as you can imagine, you think she was industry, a leader in a national firm. She was, you know, everyone would think, oh, what does X say on this, that and the other? And what's X theory on this, that and the other? She was an extraordinary lady. And she was interviewed, and when one thinks about that, in this kind of 40s and 50s perhaps, when she would have been in her pomp, that's remarkable, when, you know, back then, certain, you know, women just weren't given the rights that they quite rightly have now. And so she was interviewed, and the interviewer said, how do you feel? I mean, you must feel so proud. And she said, She turned to him with a desperately sad look in her eye and said, I wanted to be a dancer. But my father said it wasn't sensible. She started to cry. I wanted to be a dancer. As parents, carers, grandparents, hear this lesson. We do need to put down boundaries, but be very, very careful with our children's hopes. Hold them gently, lest you might alter their path. This can crush some of the hopes that they are supposed to have. Speak hope into situations. It will change them. We can place hope into people by believing in them, by giving them encouragement. I think of Peter, who I can really relate to. Peter did all manner of silly things, including denying Jesus. That is such a relatable story to the here and now. But with a focus on hope, Jesus says to this guy, who to date had not been the ideal candidate for the first pope, feed my sheep. He was saying to Peter, I choose you. I believe in you. We carry hope inside us, and it can help us or assist others' hopes, a hope assistant, if you like. But it can also ignite hope in others. I was chatting with some friends this week about how we can speak hope into situations. Not blind optimism. I believe we need to be cautious about saying it will be okay in many, many situations. But we can offer an alternative story, a more hopeful one. And I hope this can breathe light and life into desperate situations. There is always hope. This hope is defiant. It says, no, I will not stay down. I will get up. It does not have to be this way. It does not have to be this way. Today does not have to be the same as yesterday. There is this hope deep, deep inside us. Nick Drury and I were reflecting on this a couple of weeks ago. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Galatian church about the gifts that are available to us. I read him simply saying, take what has been given to you. Take the good fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's strange that hope is not in that group, as it seems to be a perfect fit. But I know, I absolutely know, that hope, solid hope, good hope, holy hope, leads to all these things, searches for all these things. And to hope, not to be optimistic for these things, is just perfect. Turn your hopes into prayers. Maybe there are prayers already, you just don't know it. When I started writing this, I was thinking about how many of our hopes actually reveal quite a bit about where we are spiritually. Now, please don't get weak at the knees when I say this. You don't need to go to church to be aware of where your soul is at or what's going on in there. We hope for quite a few things that we would not necessarily pray for. I thought that some of our hopes were actually prayers, but not dressed up like prayers, if you like. They can be like that draft email that you don't send, or sometimes you accidentally do. What a horrible feeling that is. Hope is like praying into prayers. When you think them, amen them as well. Accidentally send them, because they're from the inside anyway. Always pray and never lose hope. That's from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' words. So this is the tough bit, as quite a few of us have hit the point, or know others at the point, where hope, even the thought of the notion, is so far away it's offensive even to think of. I referred to a desert earlier, being without hope, without a feeling that there is something burning inside. A desire to want to pick yourself up, let alone let anything grow. Most of us have drunk from that cup, some of us longer than others. And the promise of this internal hope stirs nothing inside us but further hurt for not being there. You just want to give up. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, has done quite a lot of work on hope and hopelessness. He comes up with a list. I'm not going to go deeply into the list, or I may be at another time, but he feels that the causes of hopelessness can be you feel alone, you feel abandoned, in a crowd, you feel alone. Life seems out of control. You don't see a purpose. You're grieving a loss. You don't have what you need. There's guilt, shame, regret, remorse. You've been deeply wounded by someone. The thorn is so far in, you can't think of anything else. You're pulled in the wrong direction. Temptation's got you. You just keep on giving in to temptation. You're hounded by fear. Anxiety causes hopelessness, and everything around you can look like defeat. Now, I think all of us here can relate to at least one of those feelings. And I recognize that out of them, hopelessness, and can recognize that out of them, hopelessness has emerged. Thankfully for most of us, hope arises and is reborn. We heal sometimes quickly, sometimes painfully slowly. But some of us are still in the desert, or are living with husbands and wives or children who are in a desert and it feels endless. If that is you, please know there is always hope. I promise you, there is always hope. Talk to someone you trust. Talk to us, please. Talk and just be open to the promise that hope, no matter what the circumstances, and we've heard some hopeless circumstances this morning, hope never dies. Even when the diagnosis is a disaster, hope never dies. I'm going to end back at the anchor, and I'm going to come back at some point and talk about much more the anchor verse. It's my central verse, and actually I'm not talking about the certain hope that it reflects, so there we go. But the headline verse, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Just before that, it's written about, it describes the promises that God has made, that he has never, ever failed to deliver on. This hope is certain. Even if we drop anchor in a storm, you're still in the storm, but you are not drifting out of control. You're firm and secure. It does not move. The storm will. So drawing this part to a close and to summarise, if Abby and I are lucky enough to come round to your houses for dinner, we would happily eat fish. Be wary of what hope is and what optimism is. Look at the source of your hope. The hope inside us is spiritual. It's sacred. Do we treat it that way? Turn your hopes and prayers. Turn your hopes into prayers. Because that's what they really are. Prayers for your lives and the lives of others. You have the ability to nurture others' spiritual, sacred hopes. Share messages of hope, testimonies of truth, hold power. You have the ability to inspire hope in others. There is always hope. It's a promise. There is always hope. Now, my journey of wanting to write about hope actually started with a song. So I'm going to pray, and then hopefully, technology willing, we're going to finish with that song. Now, the guys at the back have just, honestly, they just work so incredibly hard on the tech. So if the song doesn't work, it's completely and utterly all down to me bringing it in half an hour before we were meant to start. It's just like, it's remarkable what they get done. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to finish with a song. Father God, thank you that you place hope supernaturally inside each one of us. Strengthen our hopes and let them become obvious to us. Help us to act on the hopes that are from you and in our hearts. Help us to bring hope to others, to encourage and support others' hopes. Help us to share your hope and the hope of your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. So I leave you this week with a song. I will not be singing. I think my family and my sister, shout out to my sister, hope you're watching, will be curling up on the sofa in embarrassment at the thought of me singing. This song actually deals with the hope the writer has for others. It's written in love and a deep hope for his sister. Whilst you listen, if you share his hope, do pray for those you hope will make it home. It will become apparent when you listen to the lyrics and you watch the lyrics. If you share his hope, please do pray for those you hope will make it home. Or, if you don't think that you are home and you want to be, ask. This is where I hope that it's going to work. Boom, it does.
I hope you go. I hope I see you. Golden shores with lights more radiant than the sun. You say you won't. You won't believe it. Still I can try with a breath inside me to say again, it's gonna go in the blink of an eye, and I just wanna know you'll be there by my side. And it can feel so cold, but I'm holding on to hope that one day your heart will make it home. It's gonna go in the blink of an eye, and I just wanna know you'll be there by my side. And it can feel so cold.
Thank you so much for sharing that message, Alistair. I'm sure it spoke to each of us in so many different ways. So that is drawing our time to a close here. And just a closing blessing and a reminder of what has been shared today. For us to go out in hope and love and peace into our week ahead. That we can be sharing those seeds of hope with those around us, not keeping that to ourselves, not relying on a potluck kind of hope, but actually a holy hope, a hope that is rooted in Christ, a hope that we can speak into different situations and transform those situations and people's lives. So may we hold on to that kind of hope and take it into our week ahead. So bless you all as you go on into your week, and we will be gathering here again next Sunday. There's a few spaces left in the church, so do book in over the coming week if you want to come here physically. If not, you'll see us, we won't see you, but I'm sure we will still be a community together. God bless you all.